Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Yo, son!
One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
It is! Sasquatch,
Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw, Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits,
are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One Ep is life.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Guys, this is a really cool episode today. First of all, there's a lot going on, all right? Sypha and I put another two in the can last week. Fire vintage One Ep episodes. Those are done. We did those last week. Then we just did West Side Gun tonight, which we're going to have to bump up to next week because his project just came out. Like over an hour with West Side Gun. Then we recorded Patreon today. Just an hour of Sypha and I fucking around talking about the world. I'm sure I'll piss some people off in it. Because I seem to piss everyone off when I talk about anything going on in the world these days. But so basically, Sypha and I were discussing, if you really want to get the me and Sypha fucking around doing nothing episodes, it's kind of becoming a Patreon thing as we start recording these interview episodes every week. Patreon.com/oneepislife is where you go. We're trying to bring it, man. It's fucking 11 o'clock at night. I've been grinding all day. We did Patreon earlier. We did West Side Gun at night. And now I'm editing the show from last week. So this episode I wanted to give you guys is a one-on-one interview that I did with a cat named Nicholas F. A lot of you I know don't know Nicholas F. Some of you do. His story is incredible. I originally thought I was going to do it for real late. Then I was like, this is too interesting. This, his whole life is too interesting. His history with Drake, trying to make an underground rap, where he landed now. It's just a fascinating story about a man and hip hop and a guy who loves it and who happens to be a great fucking artist. He was on my Real Late album as well. So let's get into it right now. This is my interview with Nicholas F. I promise you, trust me, go along for the ride. You will enjoy it. All right, let's go back. Yo, Nicholas F, my brother, VA's own. What's good?
What's up, Rosenberg? What's up, world? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
You got a new joint?
Yes. I got a new project out, audio comic book.
Can you talk to us about this? This is super cool, man. Like, this is you taking your whole. By the way, if you're unfamiliar with Nicholas F as a producer, MC, artist, he was on my Real Late album last year. Most for those who follow the show,
thank you.
But also have done a ton of great music out of VA over the years, and many other things. But you've now expanded. The comic book art always been a passion for you?
Yeah. when I was young, I was drawing comic books in school. I grew up on that stuff. I grew up in that 90s era. It was like kung fu flicks, comic books, basketball, you know, and rap. So,
90s kid.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a good time.
Yeah.
What was your comic book of choice?
Wolverine, X-Men. You know, yeah, anything Marvel, for real. I was a big Marvel collector. And Spawn as well.
And then, so you just drew it for fun. It was always just like a little hobby. You had your books?
Yeah, like, you know, before it was rap, it was drawing, doodling, doing pictures, you know, making pictures of class, creating my own little characters, putting little stories together, sharing them around the class, you know. And, you know, just...
Before you know it, it was actually pretty good.
Like, no.
It wasn't good.
Nah. I mean, it was just something I was doing as a kid, you know?
No one was stopping you and being like, oh my God, young man, you need to be doing this.
Nah. It wasn't nothing like that. The reason I'm doing it now is, you know, is just kind of like getting back to why I was doing anything. Like, just getting back to the things that I love, you know?
Was there a particular personal, like, you said something that spoke to me, which mm-hmm. is you got back into the comic books because it was something that you love. So mm-hmm. I was asking, was there a particular personal thing that happened in your life that was like, ooh, I need to go back to the things that like really make me happy?
Yeah. So in the time that I've kind of like been away and working on music, I was really just trying to like find that thing, like, let me keep it real. Like, I'm 40 years old,
right?
I went back to school because my life was collapsing around me.
At what age are we talking about?
Like, 32.
Okay.
32 years old, I went back to school.
And this is after you'd already been in the game for a minute. You'd already written records for Drake. You'd already had, like, things happen in this music.
Yeah, I had been working for quite some time at it. But at the same time, I was working dead-end jobs, factory work, moving pianos. I was an exterminator.
Oh, damn, you've done it all, bro.
Did it all. And then I had two sets of twins. You know, I bought a house, you know, trying to, you know, build a family, take care of my family. And at the time...
Two sets of twins is... Let's just take a moment. That's wild, bro. How far apart?
That's a few years. Right now, my oldest are 14 and my youngest are 12.
So that's just a couple years apart. Yeah. Back-to-back twins.
Yeah, yeah.
With the same mom?
Same mother. Yeah.
Oh, bless her. Bless her also.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a lot on your plate already. So
yeah.
that's financially, that's a lot. Emotionally, that's a lot. Time-wise, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Just being a grown-up, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And a man, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah. There was a lot going on. And then, you know, like, you have this dream and you have this talent and this music that you love to make. Well, my job's just let me go. And it was at a point where... I wasn't able to find work for a long time, and the house was going into foreclosure, the car was repossessed, the lights were getting cut off, and I was just like, yo, I need more options. I need to utilize my gifts, and so I made the choice to go back to school and utilize those gifts.
So where'd you go to school?
VCU, Virginia Commonwealth
University.
Yeah,
he went to VCU, and that's money too. By the way, that's another. You're taking a gamble too. You're investing in yourself, but you're also gambling on yourself.
Yeah,
to a certain
for
extent.
Sure. And you know, like part of the thing with even doing that, like taking the financial aid, was like I kind of needed that money at the same time. You know
that's
what I mean?
Wait, so they'll give you they'll give an adult financial aid too. Mm-hmm. If you're going back to school and want to go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they real stupid question? Do they realize, like, is it in your application? Do they realize that you have a family too? Like, does that have to be part of the financial sort of the financials of it all?
I believe so.
So they know everything and can see, like, oh, this is a person who could use our help.
Yeah.
And so you get a ride. You get at least the partial ride or full ride?
Partial.
So you get a partial ride to VCU to study what?
Strategic advertising.
Okay.
I was double majoring. Creative and strategic, but
you double everything, huh? You refuse to do single anything.
Yes, exactly.
Yo, the fact that you not only double everything, like twins is already doubling, but you double twins.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like this in my life, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the crazy thing is, like, neither one of us really had, like, a lot of twins on either side of our family.
And this wasn't, I don't want to be too personal, but this wasn't in vitro, this was natural?
Yes, yeah, just happened.
Because it happens often with in vitro. I'm sure people have asked you this before, like, because twins happen a lot when people do IVF. Especially, it used to happen even more often because people would, they would put multiple sperm in an egg or whatever, and it could happen more often. Mm-hmm. But so you rarely hear that. That's just out of the blue. That's wild.
Yeah, it just happened.
So you double major.
Yeah, double major. But I actually ended up just graduating with the strategic advertising degree. Dropped creative the last semester because it would have, like, carried me over. It was just one class I needed to graduate with the double, but I'd had to do a whole extra semester. And, like, so, like, there's a part that's missing. Like, at this point, when I'm back in, so me and the mother of children, we ended up going our separate ways, right? She kept the house, and I moved back in with my parents while I was finishing up school.
Whew.
So
now we're getting real talk. Now we're getting into it. Now it's real late, baby.
Yeah.
What? No, this is really one up. When we start getting to divorce talk, that's my. Now we're getting to one up talk. All right.
Yeah.
So you're at home now. She's in the house.
Yeah.
You're back home under your parents' roof.
Back under
while
my parents'
taking care of a full family.
At 32, 33 years old, in school, at a college where I got fans in my classes. I'm known. Nicholas F. Like, yo, what are you doing back here? You know, like, what are you doing here? You know,
right.
In the parents' basement, when I have the kids, we're all in one room, all four of us, and it was just to a point where it had been a couple of years. You know, my sister and I had been gone, so it's like, you know, it was my parents' time, you know, and so it was a lot on them, and so, you know, it's kind of those talks like, come on, son, like. We gotta make something shake. So I went ahead and just did the single degree. And it still took me like a good year and a half to get something in the field.
You found something in the field though?
I did. I ended up working with this small agency in town. Then moved up to Capital One as a copywriter. And then from there, ended up getting an email from Adobe, and now I'm over at Adobe Acrobat as an associate creative director.
Wow, dude, this is a crazy story, man.
Yeah.
So this project that you're ostensibly here to talk about is just a passion project? This is just something you wanted to do?
Yeah. You know, they always say that thing, like, a good job is like the killer of a dream. Right.
Yeah. Often it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like, for me though, it was kind of like gave me the opportunity to live the dream a bit more because, all of like the basic essential things that I need for life were covered, you know, like
deep, bro.
Bills, like not having to worry about anything. The kids can get shoes, clothes, you know, anything they need, you know? And so it allowed me the opportunity to focus on the music and approach it in a way that would be fun for me, and allow me to focus on something that I love, because I'm not necessarily putting it all on the music. Like, I need this to pop in order for my life to be something.
Right. That's such a blessing to be able to do it that way instead of Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And
the pressure of this is it.
This is it. And that's how I've always created. That's always been what it was. It's always like I'm pouring everything into this project because I need something in life. That, like, though, most of the time that I was putting out music and, you know, throwing things together is because money was pressing and I needed something right then and there at the time. That is the reason why I can go back and do a comic book and do something that I love, because I'm doing it for those reasons. There is no other reason for me to do it than besides the fact that I just love doing it.
But, okay, so real quick, I just want to take a breather and play people listening, because the story is so cool. I want to play your record from my album, because mm-hmm. I feel like you literally, this is basically, a lot of what you're saying now is sort of on that record, on mm-hmm. I Want It All.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. The life that you're talking about living and the level of hustle
yeah.
is all in here. So his name is Nicholas F. Real quick, where can people support the comic?
9panelmedia.com. It's not out just yet.
Okay, how soon? What's the date? You have a date?
We don't have a date, but we have a time frame. We're going to look at towards the end of October, top of November.
All right, so if people follow you, they mm-hmm. can find, when it's time, they can yes. find out.
Yes, you can follow me on at NicholasF.com on Instagram, Twitter, you know.
Just find Nicholas F on all those things. Let's play this record and come back more and talk a little bit more about your rap story before we got to all of mm-hmm. the family story, the comic book story. Mm-hmm. You've lived a lot of lives.
Yeah, many lives. Many lives.
So we'll get into the other lives. Let me play this joint right here. It's called I Want It All, Fly Anakin and Nicholas F. Both from Virginia, by the way.
Shout out to Anakin.
Any strange niggas that make the world reverse, I pay my dues against my eyes. Fucking lies. Niggas frightened like they really had it hard. Bitch, your mama had a good job. I want it all. They said I want, I can't get it tomorrow. My status, this shit that I ain't gon' front with y'all. I need the ball. Listen to Max, I'm a boogie boy. Not the signal for it, they ran into a wall. Peace to the guys. And it's strange things that make the world reverse. I pay my dues against the odds. Fucking odds. Niggas fronting like they really had it hard. Bitch, your mama had a good job. I want it all. This shit I want, I can't get it tomorrow. My status, this shit that I ain't gon' front with y'all. I need the ball. Listen to Max on my boogie board. Not the single for they ran into a wall. Peace to the guys.
Yeah, peace, but fuck them. Now we up friend, but they ain't wanna show us love then. Got tough skin, being stuck, got me unhinged. I'm in pictures, secretly flexing, stomach sucked in. I arrive, fly, gliding on a gust of wind. Like, coulda blew your head off just then. Breaking news, just then. We making headlines, cause we was meeting deadlines when you was thinking bedtime. We threw our money in a pot to watch the bread rise. It's all business, don't get it twisted, we got bread ties. Wu-Tang, baby, try and get with the new age lately. I travel wherever my suitcase takes me. Travel size toothpaste, brushing with my finger. All cuddled up with heaters, got me running up a fever. It's a bracket breaker, hater motivator, the anti-algorithm disrupting the standard nomenclature. My brain is data packed, off top. I come with a contraption that could be an Inspector Gadget's hat. And you need that when you move through a savage habitat, fighting just to come up.
One of those guys in a ladder match.
Stock tips off Reddit, saw the bread come. Edward Scissorhands, I'm trimming off of the hedge funds. Cause it was funds insufficient, guns in the kitchen. Parents had two kids, but this one didn't listen.
Peace to the guys. And it's strange things to make the world reverse. I pay my dues against the odds. Fucking lies. Niggas frightened like they really had it hard. Bitch, your mama had a good job. I want it all.
This shit I want, I can't get it the more. My standards, this shit that I ain't gon' front with y'all. I need the ball. Listen to Max on my boogie board. I just signal for them, bring it to a wall. Peace to the guys. And it's strange things that make the world reverse. I paid my dues against the odds. Hey, fuck your knives. Niggas frightened like they really had the heart. Bitch, your mama had a good job. I want it all. This shit I want, I can't get it tomorrow. My stand is this shit that I ain't gon' front with y'all. I need the bar. Listen to Max on my boogie board. I just signal for it and ran into the wall. Peace to the guys.
Nicholas Self, what up, what up, what up, bro?
That's why I'm here.
Pop back to my portal.
All right. So that, yeah, shout out to Homeboy Sam, and he's got a new album out as well.
That was a fire instrumental right there.
Which one, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's dope. Yeah. Shout out to Sam, man. Rich is out right now. Have you listened yet? Yo, man. Bro, yeah, he told me he wanted to come play us Rich 2. Rich 2 is, I can't wait to hear it. Yo, Nicholas F is here.
What's up, y'all?
It's Juan Epp is life, and I think I just stumbled in the last 2 days into a new thing for Juan Epp, because like, there's a way for me to do these interviews where I can give the Juan Epp people who really ultimately are annoyed that me and Syph don't do enough hip-hop shit. Like, they want to hear more rappers, but Syph and I never have time to sit down with rappers together. So when we sit down on Zoom in our house when we each have an hour.
Yeah.
But I also, for my other shit, have to sit down with rappers and it makes sense. So why not give these to the Juan Epp people? And
dog, I did a lot of listening to Juan Epp working in those warehouses.
Oh, sure. Really? Back in the day?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man, sure. I appreciate that.
Yes, those got us through.
Well, that's why I found your this conversation so fascinating, because I feel like there's so many people. Well, let me start here. I'm always fascinated with the blue collar artist, mm-hmm. because it's always what I knew. Mm-hmm. So like all the people, you know, you're from VA, I'm from Maryland. Mm-hmm. All the cats that I knew who were rapping, like everyone had a job. Mm-hmm. No one was living the rap life.
Yeah.
We would joke about the rap life.
Yeah.
Like, in fact, I remember when I first got to New York and started like getting to be around artists who were actually living the rap life.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even understand it because they were too young. You know what I mean? Like, to be like, I'm like, y'all don't get it. You're doing, like, that's why when I started hanging out with Asher Roth, when Asher got signed to SRC, mm-hmm. and he was like a kid,
mm-hmm.
and I introduced him to all my people. He met Kev Brown and Odyssey and Caneburn, everyone from Low Budget. And I was trying to always show him, like, there are these people out here, tons of them, mm-hmm. who are some less talented, some as talented and some more talented than you, mm-hmm. who all want to do this so bad, and you got it. Like, you have you're getting to do it. Like, even
you
got
the chance.
You have it right now. And even if it never goes on, it doesn't go on forever, whatever. Bro, I swear to God, we would joke about getting girls when we would go to do shows. Like, because mm-hmm. we just knew there wouldn't even be girls there. You know, like, it wasn't even a realistic, like, even that wasn't a realistic mm-hmm. possibility. I'm not saying no one dated girls, but it didn't come from the rapping part. It was like anyone else with a job.
Yeah.
So I've always had a passion for the working class rapper. And I mean that in two ways. One, working class person, like you actually have a blue collar job like you're describing. Mm-hmm. And then also now there's the working class rapper, meaning you're a full time rapper, but you live on streaming money. That's cool. Yeah. You know, it's enough to get by.
Exactly.
So we have like multiple versions of it, mm-hmm. but you've seen every version of it. Now, were you, before you got to the true blue collar part of your life,
mm-hmm.
how far along were you like down the rap path? Like, if you run into someone and they're like, oh, so you're in hip hop, they meet you at Adobe and they're like, oh, you're a rapper too. Like, what have you done? How do you tell your story?
I start my story back in my room in sixth grade. I've been doing this forever. And by the time I was in high school, 11th grade, I won the Source Unsigned Hype battle.
Battle.
Yeah, okay. there was a battle in Southside Plaza at a place called Willie's.
Willie's Records and Tapes?
Yes, sir.
Eastern Seaboard, I can't say local because it was in multiple markets, but an Eastern Seaboard record store that was like, how it's hard to even describe Willie's.
Yeah.
It is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Yes.
Was your location like bright pink?
Yes.
Yeah, the one in the one in Maryland was bright pink. Yeah. Like you drive by it and be like, Willie's. Yo, that shit was like some, in retrospect, it feels out of a movie. It didn't even feel like a real record shop.
Yeah.
It was like, and they had records and tapes and CDs.
Yeah. And the crazy thing about that same spot, Southside Plaza, that's where D'Angelo shot the Lady video.
Wow.
Yeah. I wonder if Willie's is in that video. I don't know. But yeah, D'Angelo shot that video there. But I was 17 at the time. I actually wasn't even supposed to, you had to be 18 or up to be in the battle. But this guy who my mother knew was working with The Source in some capacity, and he was able to get me in. There were 300 different battlers there, and I ended up winning it. MOP was judging.
This is amazing.
There was a dude named Gotti, who used to write for The Source. I can't remember. He was a light-skinned guy. But I think he was one of the judges there as well. But that was kind of like my big kickoff. The summer right after 11th grade, won that. That's when managers started coming around, people who wanted to help out. And I was just kind of like off to the races then.
So what did you end up doing? Did you sign with a manager?
Yeah, I went through. Well, I didn't necessarily sign. I was working with this lady named Janelle Ballard. She was working for Landspeed at the time.
Wow, Landspeed, here we go.
Yeah.
We're back now.
We're in that era.
We're in 03?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yep.
Yeah, shouts to Papa D.
Yep.
Landspeed, okay.
She was...
Landspeed was a distributor. I guess we have to remind... Even if it's one app, y'all don't all know. Landspeed was a distributor. They did all like mad indie shit in the late 90s, early 2000s, like from your 7L and Esoteric, you know, level shit, all the way up to like somewhat, you know, bigger. Like if we were to go through and look, oh, Knotts had shit on Landspeed too, right?
Cormega
was on Landspeed. There was a lot of good shit. Like a lot of people, yo, it was one of the things that you'd say, like if someone lost their major deal, you'd be like, oh, they're probably going to drop something on Landspeed.
Yep.
Like, and then they did a good job. There was a lot of good projects.
Yep. So she was one of the first people that kind of like started taking me seriously. She actually, this is crazy. So I tried out for making the band. Me and her took a trip to D.C., slept on the concrete overnight in line. In that same episode, I was in the same room with Los, Choppa.
Wow.
Few other people. It was crazy. It was a lot of battling going on. But anyways, yeah, she was one that you know, introduced me to more people. Managers, you know, came and went over the years.
And so what's the first thing that happened? Did you get you put out a project?
No. So
I
actually,
I don't remember an early project that early or anything.
Nah. So, all right. So after doing the Source Unsigned Hype battle, I ended up going to LA and doing the Source Sound Lab, the TV show out there.
I don't even remember this.
Yes, there was a TV show there. And what was crazy is Ray J was hosting that episode. And the one thing I remember is I was in the green room. This thing was just grilling me the whole time. Like, y'all thought the man wanted to fight me. Like, I had no idea why. But it was cool. Like, I did the battle. I ended up winning that. And then they flew me up here to New York to do a battle. And I lost to Shells in, like, the semifinals of that battle. And then came back, continued to finish high school out.
Wow.
I was a senior at this point. So, you know, I was just having fun with it. It was kind of like, you know, living a dream, you know, for a high schooler.
Yeah, exactly. For high school, it's great. So then when you graduate, though, what do you do? Are you like, I'm
so,
a full-time rapper?
All right. So when I graduated, I signed up for VCU. I did one semester and ended up dropping out because I had a manager at the time who was working at Def Jam.
All right.
And we had a deal on the table. And so, you know, I had to talk with my parents, and they were like, hey, this is your chance to do it. So go ahead and do it. And then plus, like, I was, my mind wasn't fully ready for school at the time.
Okay. I don't knock you. I don't begrudge you for this decision.
Yeah, I wasn't ready. I did good in high school, but like that first semester of college, like I was on academic probation, I was failing everything. You know, I was just wilding out, you know, just having fun.
And this is 04. What year is this?
This is 01, 02.
01, 02.
Okay. Yeah, I graduated in 01.
All right.
Yeah. And so I ended up leaving. I was being managed at the time by this guy named Hugh. And he was working at Def Jam. And this was right before there was a merger. I can't remember who they merged with. But that whole department, like everybody, like all those A&Rs lost their jobs and were replaced, and that situation ended up falling through. And from then it was on, it was just like working on music, still trying to push it, and you know, working. It was just years. It was just years of just kind of like
almost things.
Almost meet
this person.
Yeah.
Open this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go, oh, you're gonna open who you open for anyone cool?
So it wasn't a lot of opening for people at that time. It was more so doing things. Like we had a situation. We went on a little tour with Island Def Jam. I remember that was a thing for a little bit. Did some of that. I was traveling back and forth to Virginia Beach a lot. Working with some people that were connected to Star Trek. They weren't necessarily Star Trek, but they were connected to Star Trek. You know what I'm saying?
Of course they were.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, we would also like be in the same rooms with them. Like at that time, I got to write for some guys that were on Black Street. It was just that transition era, right, where the internet was starting to kind of like become a thing.
Vinyl was phasing out, but still existed.
Yeah.
That was when I was going for it with the artists I worked with. It was really in between because it's post sort of the heart of the Napster era.
Mm-hmm.
And it's heading into the blog era, but it's not there
yet. They're a
couple years away.
Like SoundClick.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, I never fit a mold, right? Like, a hip-hop mold. I didn't fit into any archetypes. So it was also trying to just, like...
I mean, you got dreads and a basketball jersey. There's so much. You're a diverse person.
Yeah,
different interests.
Very true. But, you know, it was just, like, just trying to figure out what was going to work. You know, like I was doing everything and doing recording every sort of song and, you know,
commercial stuff, underground stuff, righteous stuff.
Yes. Everything that I could, man. I was trying to, you know, just like make it happen. And it took me a lot of places, like, you know, from there, a couple years down the line, ended up doing 106 in Park.
Freestyle Friday?
Yeah. Got the Hall of Fame there, which it was crazy how that came up. It always goes back to, like, battling. Loaded Lux was the champion before me. But, like, a year before that, he had come to Richmond with the Lions Den League and had this cipher that I just happened to hop into.
Okay.
And then we ended up connecting. And then after he won, they just asked if he had any suggestions. He threw my name out there and, you know, and capitalized.
Did they retire him or you took him out?
No, he retired. He got Hall of Fame as well, yeah.
How long was it till you get Hall of Fame?
7 weeks.
7 weeks, and they just make you a Hall of Famer and move on.
Yeah.
You beat anyone good during your 7 weeks, or was no one real competition?
Not really. I don't really necessarily even remember, to be honest with you. Like who I battled for sure. Like, dog, it was one of those things. Like, at the time I was working for Terminex, and they recorded it on Thursdays.
You mean doing exterminator work?
Doing exterminator work.
You were dealing with termites and roaches and...
Termites, roaches, mice, snakes, those crazy looking crickets that be up under the house. Like,
yo, bro, I don't know how you did what you did, bro.
Spraying fungicide. Dog, I moved pianos for a few years.
What was the worst of those gigs? What'd you say? the last one you would want to do if you needed to go back to it, God forbid, the last one you'd want to do?
It'd probably be night shift at Food Lion Distribution. I used to have to drive an hour out of town to go there and then work overnight, driving this pallet lift. It wasn't like a forklift, but a pallet lift. Around, you put on a headset, they call out coordinates, you go there, you stack it on the pallet, drive around to another spot, grab something else, then you got to wrap it all.
Was that so bad? Because the driving part?
The overnight part.
Just the overnight part. The
overnight part. And that was another place. Like, I was, you know, I had that place paid you based on productivity. So, like, the more you did, the more you got paid.
Damn. This is a lot. Yeah. This stresses me out just to hear about.
Yeah, so, I mean, but it was a thing that I was making good money, right? I was making, like, at the time, $17 an hour, which...
That's a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
That's a good hourly wage.
Yeah, and that's what I was paying for my house with. That's what I was paying for the car with, so on and so forth. The second set of twins got born, sleep just kind of, like, went out the door. They had this policy, you're late three times and you're out of here. They had just been born. They knew about it. I was late for the fourth time. They asked me. And at that time, I couldn't get hired back on to anybody specifically. I had to go through a temp. And so I went from making $17 an hour to $7 an hour. And that was just like... That's when the pieces started falling apart.
And wait, how did you get from that time when you were working at the overnight gig? Are you still in rap in a real way?
Yes.
The whole time.
That's the thing that I've always been able to do. Like, with those jobs, like the way I've always passed my time, because a lot of time you work independently. Like, even as an exterminator, I'm driving around all the time. I'm in this truck by myself. The entire time, I'm just writing. That's all I ever did the entire time. I wrote raps, and then as soon as I got home, I recorded them. I had to record what I wrote that day. And so even in the warehouse, headphones are in. It's 8 hours. That's an eight-hour writing session for me. And while I was doing that, I always knew that, like, I would do more. I always knew I was meant to do something else. And so I paid attention just kind of like to the interactions I had with people, what was going on, like, and just logged it all in my memory, just kind of like as reference material for later.
So what would you consider to be, if you're on an airplane next to someone, what would you consider to be your, like, the your craziest achievement in rap? What's the thing, or the thing that you, I don't know, find most interesting or proud of, whatever version of it is?
Yeah, I can't necessarily call out a single thing, right? Because there's been a lot of wins for me, things that I'm proud of. Like one of them, my album Trifling made it to 58 on Billboard, but I put it together in the storage shed, you know, with I've never had any label backing, no like real money or pushed, you know, behind me. Like everything that I've ever got has just been through just like grind and people sharing, you know. And so to be able to do that was huge for me. The fact that like I had a mural painted of me in the city, like as a underground rapper, like, and there weren't any other ones at the time, you know.
And this is where exactly?
Richmond.
Like where in Richmond?
Oh, that's an even more interesting story. It's in Oregon Hill, which is like one of like the more historically racist parts of town. So to have like my scowling face, you know, on the side of the building there, was kind of like a cool thing.
I stopped in Richmond a couple of years ago in the middle of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. When all the monuments were under attack.
That was a crazy time.
Bro, it's one of my favorite mm-hmm. moments in American history.
Yeah.
To see the, what's his face? What's the big one there? You know, the Confederate
statue. The Robert E. Lee.
Is it the Robert E. Lee? Yeah. Mm-hmm. To see the Lee statue. Mm-hmm. And it completely spray painted. To where it literally, I think in huge letters in one part, it says Black Trans Lives Matter across this thing. Yo, bro, I was like, this is incredible. We have pictures.
Yeah.
Natalie took pictures of me like smiling in front of it all. They had to eventually block it off because like they were like, all right, we got to stop. Yeah. This has to stop at some point. And then you drive another 10 blocks and you have this flawless Arthur Ashe statue right in the middle. It was beautiful. Yeah. It was a really cool time.
Yeah, nah, I have crazy video on my phone from all of that. Just like, you know, going out, marching, walking through. Like, that was a real crazy time.
Yeah, that's an interesting time for the city, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was big. I remember, there was this one time in particular. I think Trey Songz did like a speech there with a bunch of other people. Do you remember that night?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool.
It was a time. It was a time. So I referenced you writing for Drake at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Were you like a writer for others? Or like how did that come to be? Was this just like a random verse? Y'all were connected blog era days and you wrote something. What's the story there?
Nah. So me and Drake connected on MySpace.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going way back now.
Yeah, it was just a random message on MySpace. And
who sent who the first message?
He hit me up.
He hit you. That sounds right.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a very serious. He was up on what was going on.
Yeah, for sure. And at the time, like I didn't know about Degrassi or any of that stuff, but he was dope. You know what I'm saying? And we just started making records. I think the first song I did with him was a Money remix. He had a song called Money, and I ended up doing a remix for that. And then after that, we just started working.
So how much work are we talking about?
We did a good amount of work for like a few years. There was a point in time, even when he came down to Richmond, he came down to VA, we did some work. I went up there a few times. We had some sessions up there. His very first tape, the Room for Improvement tape. You'll find me on there.
And is the most notable writing credit, and I don't know if it's even known as, is it an official credit? I'm going in?
No, it's not an official credit.
But it's known?
Yes, yeah, known.
I mean, I feel like he told it to me at some point. This is not like hidden information.
It was weird, man. Like there was like this complex interview that I did that was just like, it was nasty. Not even that it was meant to be nasty. It was kind of like I didn't want to like speak on it, but it kind of like can't. It was just weird. It was nasty.
What, you didn't like the way it came out, the way what you said came across?
Yeah.
It sounded like you were in some way like violating code or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's good that you have an opportunity now to say that you didn't like that, how that came across. Did you ever speak to him afterwards?
Drake?
Yeah.
Yeah. We continued to work, but I don't know. Like, it got weird somewhere, and I'm not exactly sure where or how, you know what I'm saying? But we just kind of like grew apart over the years.
It is interesting though, the having had a working relationship,
mm-hmm.
like you're a regular guy. We spent the whole time talking about how you were literally an exterminator,
mm-hmm.
doing overnight shifts. You know, we're talking about the most regular shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were straight up living that blue collar life.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you had a long-standing working relationship with the number one rapper in the world.
Yeah, like...
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Like, I've always been, like, kind of, like, tight-lipped about, like, talking about all of that. Because I never wanted to be, like, looked at in, like, a crazy light because of that, right? Because of the fact that we worked together, like... early on, and then he went on to go be really, really successful, and then I just continue living
a regular life.
My regular life.
You didn't like the aesthetic of how it would look. It could look like you're talking crazy.
Yes, it could look like I'm just like a hater or a bitter or something like that. And so I never really wanted to, you know, even like speak on that sort of thing. So like when the writing thing comes up, you know, there was, like, the Complex interview where I said I did it, and then there was another time when I go back and I'm kind of, like, retracting. Yeah, and it's, like,
it got complicated because I think it gets complicated because a lot of people have villainized, maybe that's the wrong word, but, you know, bash Drake.
Yeah.
And made it sound like he's not a writer.
Yes, and that's unfair.
And it's not true.
That's unfair. Like, Drake is an incredible writer and artist, and... that's why we connected initially, just because we both had the same sort of like love for the same sorts of rap, you know? And so.
Yeah. Like, and you know, even Flex has done this. Like a lot of people have gone at him, and I really think it's interesting on a few levels, right? Everyone receives help in some different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Drake clearly writes the predominant work that he does. You can hear it.
Yes.
You can hear him as a writer.
Yes.
One of the things I always found interesting about I'm Going In, which I knew you wrote, and this is mm-hmm. before I knew you, I found it interesting because I never thought that verse actually sounded like him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it actually, you know, and you guys were just working things out. Yeah. I actually would have thought at the time, like, I don't know if this works because it didn't sound like his voice on the record, frankly. It actually, in a weird way, proved to me more that he's a writer. Because I could hear when it wasn't him, I was like, this doesn't quite sound like him.
Yeah.
But I think it's unfair that people do that. Like, there are a lot of things people could, you know, take shots at Drake for. Obviously, it's easy when someone's the biggest dude in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my moments of taking shots at him, God knows. But I always thought the writing thing was just super unfair. Like, my man has 9 million hits.
Yeah.
Like, we could go through and skim the ones where maybe someone did something here and someone did something here.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, like, bro, even if you were to remove all the songs he's ever gotten help from, bro probably still has more hits than anyone else in history.
Yeah.
Like, it's that crazy a body of work.
Yeah, nah, like, it's crazy to have my story intertwined with somebody who, like has some, like you said, the highest number of hits in...
Listen, the fact of the matter is we can't even talk about, like, does Drake have more hits than Jay-Z? We're talking about, does Drake have more hits than the Beatles?
Beatles, yeah.
We're talking about Elvis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this isn't a rap conversation anymore. Now, I can have other conversations. Like, I'm not crowning Drake the greatest who's ever lived. But what I am saying is he's the greatest hit maker in hip-hop history, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
Like, there's not even anyone...
Yeah,
in his conversation,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think, like, we struggle in rap to give people the flowers for which they deserve flowers, right? Like, everyone then has to be called the greatest. Mm-hmm. Like, Jay-Z is not the greatest rapper of all time, and neither is Drake. Mm-hmm. They both have things they've done, though, that respectively, are the greatest that anyone's ever done it.
Yeah,
no definitely. One's ever done more with being a rapper than Jay-Z. And yeah. maybe no one ever will. You know what I mean? Like, what he's done is just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And for Drake, just the amount... Yo, Drake has been the most popular artist among young people for like 17 years. He's dog. Not young anymore.
Dog,
he's not a kid anymore.
I remember watching it. I remember how mind blown I was. I remember the first time like I realized it was going crazy was I saw this. It was a post. It might have been like a Twitter post. Like somebody had a video of like his first show in Houston or something. Like when Houston, Atlanta, Vegas was. Just, yeah. Dog, and I remember seeing like the shit just go wild, and my best friend Radio B, like he knew Drake as well. He was close with him as well, and we used to just like our minds were just blown, like it, dog, it's crazy. Like let me, I gotta really break it down, fam. Like when I used to go up to Toronto, I went up there a few times. And like we had some dope ass talks, like where we kind of like saw, like I knew he was gonna go places, right? And we both kind of like talked about our dreams and aspirations and all of this, and then to like watch it, to see it, like, and see that it was really happening, like. Fam, that shit was very surreal.
There's no way in your lifetime you'll never see anything like that again. Like to be you were hanging out with him at a time where you named a project his I never even fucking heard of. That's how far back we're going.
Yeah.
To where you were hanging with him.
Yeah.
To see him become the number one guy.
Yeah.
That's and he was talking about it then.
Yeah.
Did he always believe, like did he actually believe that he was gonna be that guy? Or was he just trying to be like little brother? Like, was he just hoping to be like?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I can't answer that. But I know that he was very focused. And there was an organization there, that and a structure there that I like admired. You know,
like oh, this guy has his shit together. He really knows what he wants to do.
Yeah, yeah. And so there was that much. And I don't even know if he would probably see it that way, but that's how it looked to me.
It looked put together. Yeah. And I respect you for saying that even on that. You don't know if he saw it like that. Like, we know that he admired all those cats, but it's like, you know, even being somewhat around it as he was emerging, because I didn't get to know him until he was already, he was Drake.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was definitively already the thing everyone was talking about by the time I saw it. So, like, I don't have a purview of what it was like before that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I know my memories tell me that one of the reasons I was liked him was the level of respect he had for the good shit that was going on.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And he was a hungry, like he was hungry. Like he definitely like
wanted. And he didn't have to be hungry at that point. Like, I'm not saying he was rich off Degrassi, but he was already living okay. Like, he wasn't sitting there. He wasn't worried about whether he was gonna go have to fucking drive trucks to Food Lion overnight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He wanted it. He just wanted it that bad.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, like I said, yo, I had some good times up there, you know, in the studio, doing shows. This is like crazy to think about. So like just kinda like with the whole like Pusha T thing, like me and him have a song with Malice.
You, Drake, and Malice?
Yeah.
Oh, because you obviously you have Virginia ties.
Yeah, but I mean that was something he put together. He like
oh, it was
had
a Drake
song.
Thing.
Yeah, he had the song and just like had me on it. You know, like talk like yo, F. You know what I'm saying? You want to get on this? I remember that.
And you were just psyched to be on a song with fucking Malice at the time. I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Hell yeah. You know, and then we ended up doing the song and we ended up performing it up there sometime. But this is when I realized that the shit got weird between us, because we had that song. It was playing on the radio.
Where? Right? In Virginia?
Up there.
Up there. Okay.
Yeah. That's what he told me. And then when it came out on the second tape, I think it was Comeback Season. I think that one. my verse gets cut off at the very end of the joint. Like, he cut my verse, and it was so filthy. Like,
what, the way it cut off too?
Hell yeah, yo! Like, it, right before I'm about to rap, all you hear is and then it's like the shit is cut, and I was like, what? Hold on. I'm like rewinding it. I'm like trying to re-download the shit, yo. The nigga just straight cut my verse off the joint, fam. I was like, why? Why did nigga cut my verse off the joint?
Did you ever get to ask him why?
Yeah, I did try to. Yo, this is like, this was around the time when it just is just getting weird, yo. And I wasn't for like, me and my niggas talked about it a few times, yo, and tried to like come up with some theories. But dog. There was actually. I think it was the comeback season tape. The song is called "What You Do." Stand song.
I'm gonna find it in 1 second. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna find it and I'm gonna play it.
Yeah, because there's a version with all three of our verses, and then the version on the tape is him and Malice, and then my verse got cut off right at the end. Like, yo, that shit was a dagger, fam. I was like, why?
All right, here we go.
Why, dog?
Yo, it's funny. I'm glad that your life is in a place where we can kind of have a good laugh about this. Because if things went a different direction, that would be the moment that every night in your life you're like, if that fucking song hadn't
like,
cut off.
Yo, and
here we go.
I'm hoping this shit don't even turn into.
Malice, Nicholas asked, it's a remix. Like slow motion, stepping out the phantom. All eyes on me, peeking and glancing. Leaning on the wall, B-boys dancing. Ears, neck, and wrist looking like the king's ransom. One chick each arm, making it a tandem. Flashiest, just be grandstanding. Bottles popping, cars with options. We living like kings, homie, you just watching. And I'ma show for you.
Drake Marvel's second. Floor.
With a little while, you haters want it all. You waiting for the spring and I'm getting it in the fall. But do what you do, I do what I do. Do what you do, so I do what I do.
The verses I'm writing, you might want to learn it. You hating my song, but your wife want to burn it.
Yeah.
So now you at the store for some blank CDs. You can't see me, for your sake, might want to return it. Cause
Young Drizzy, huh?
Yeah.
Bring them this home to you. Finally here, I'm a star with the timing.
Leg up on the wall, my people they chill. Why you haters want a ball? I'm satisfied with a little. Why you haters want it all? You waiting for the spring and I'm getting it.
I think you're getting cut off on this.
Yes, you're gonna hear me say,
Do what you do, such as what I do. Stance on, lean, leg up on the wall. My people they chill. Why you haters want a ball? I'm satisfied with a little. Why you haters want it all? You waiting for the spring and I'm getting it in the fall. But do what you do, I do what I do. Do what you do, such as what I do.
Boom, and that was it. I was like, "Yo, dog, that was yo."
Yo, what? That is
dog. I remember. Yo, I will never forget that moment. The first time I heard that shit, yo, it was the shot. Boom, like shotgun from the doorway. I was like, "God damn!"
Here's the full version with Nicholas F.
There is a full version.
I do this for y'all.
And look,
man. Malice, Nick.
And he shouts you out at the beginning.
Do what you do and I does what I does. These chicks love me. They say, boy, you're clean cut for a thug. You just see the stampede when we rush in the club. It's like an offensive foul, how they run into us. Charge. All they drinks on their platinum card. Lord, I got them hooked like the back of a bra. Oh, man, I am like Sam, I am. I get the green plus the eggs and ham in a pan. Fanny beef trying to approach us. Let the sucker burn. I don't even flip them over. Nicholas F. Team was great. Now you mad as hell. Ain't seen a better looking union since Gabrielle. Well, I'm hot as hell and I don't even need a stylist. Spit the inferno like a real world challenge. VA, Nicholas F, pushing malice. You running up on animals like white boys that cow tip. Everybody know cap from the south to wireless. I ain't gotta use a fist, slap you with the callus.
Now granted, it's not my best verse, right?
It's not a cut off the verse.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know,
that's a great story now.
Yeah, like it is what it is.
It's an all's well that ends well story.
Yeah, it's like it's a verse that, you know, it's whatever. But it was just like, that's when I realized, I was like, oh damn, I guess fam don't fuck with me though. But like, damn, you know what I'm saying?
I wonder what the logic was. We'll never know. So by the way, you can find Nicholas F's music wherever you find music. You can also find, so there's going to be an actual book.
Yeah.
And there's an actual book and there's an audio book.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily an audiobook. Like the album is an album. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so it is. It's an album around the comic book.
An album around. I'm gonna send you a link because I want you to listen to it.
Okay.
I think you'll enjoy it. It's a whole narrative behind it. My character was in cryostasis for like 5 years. He wakes up to a completely new world, and he finds out that he has these powers. They're telling him that the world is fucked up. We enhanced you because we need somebody out there. And, you know, he's kind of struggling with not wanting to be a hero. It's kind of like the anti-hero sort of thing. But ultimately, you know, it's about being who you're meant to be.
All right. And so people can look for that coming soon.
No, that is out.
That's out. The book itself is coming.
Yes.
Okay.
Y'all look up Nicholas Seth, The Specimen, on everywhere. Just look that up on everywhere. And the comic book itself, we're in the process of finishing that up.
Well, how about you pick a joint off The Specimen? We play it for the people. Which joint you want to play? This came out a month ago now.
All right. What are you playing, fam?
I would say play Xerxes.
Xerxes?
Nah, well, that's he playing that on the radio. Yeah.
You can play something like whatever you want.
Yeah. I would say, to me, I would say possibly like the intro so that they can kind of like get the feel of like the world. Yeah, like a little.
How about give them the intro into The Specimen?
Yeah, let's do the intro into The Specimen. Look, enter my world. You feel me? Enter my world. Like, let's
go on a ride. Get ready to go on a ride.
Let's go on a ride, for real.
All right. His name is Nicholas F. Thank you, bro. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, man, for sure.
All right, we're going to play this right now. And he's going to spit some bars in a minute, too. Hang out.
Specimen 6-4-3-2-3. Stumbled upon, bruised, exhausted, bleeding out, and left for dead. Barely clinging to life on the doorstep of oblivion, his mangled body was retrieved and ushered to a shadow research facility and biotechnology lab. Due to the grave condition of his injuries, the scientists were left with no choice but to place him into cryopreservation. And in his icy slumber, he would remain for the next 5 years. 5 years. 5 years. 5 years. 5 years.
The compounds in the serum are highly reactive and can be unpredictable. We need to run a diagnostic check of the neural implant systems. It's the only way to optimize synaptic responses and enhance neuroplasticity. The cryogenic hatch is starting to depressurize. Captain, hurry! He's waking up.
Well, well, well. Oh, Sleeping Beauty finally decides to open his pretty little eyes.
Oh, fuck you, man.
But I must say, you look a hell of a lot better than when we placed you in there. 5 years in a deep cryo sleep can work wonders.
Fuck out of here, man. I was always beautiful.
We thought you were gone for good.
But thanks to our genius engineering team and the serum they've created that's now coursing through your veins, in a day or two, you'll feel like a god.
Yo, what year is it? What the hell are these machines?
Oh, take it easy, champ. I'm sure you're confused. But your questions will be answered in due time. Here, put these on and let's get something to eat.
Yo, when they placed me in a cryo sleep, I knew that when I woke back up, I'd be stronger than ever. And in a past lifetime, I had lawless endeavors. All your money, riches, and gold, I would toss them in leather. And then fly away on that dragon that guarded the treasure. And protect your neck when I nosedive it. Chopping everybody head, showing no bias. I got no food restrictions and no diet. So I'll cannibalize you to survive in a cold climate. Wouldn't give you my heart if I had one. Cause round here the hills have eyes and guns. I knock like half of the loaf from out of your man bun and throw your corpse on the same hook with a ham hung. And I don't combat with mortals. I be quantum leaping, trying to slide through active portals. My whole arm.
Experience the extraordinary.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Listen up, man. Rich Town.
Hey, yo, 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 yo. Hey, listen. Hey, yo. I was sleep deprived of doubtful dreams. Learned as a child and teen that things ain't always how they seem. I don't make a sound, you see. My feet don't touch the ground. I mean, the way I'm moving around, it seems I'm hovering on a cloud of steam. And I wasn't just knocking down your queen. We shot a short movie too. It was nothing but a shower scene. The rugged loner with a musty odor. But just look at his fucking shoulders. They like boulders tumbling down his sleeve. Hey yo, I'm on some pre-calculus, supreme mathematics mixed with some Andre 3000 shit. Blood, sweat, and tears, I sip from three chalices. I called your blood to curdle, then make a cheese out of it. Yo, I linked up with your auntie last weekend, but I usually choose your mother. And all them scars on her arm reveal she used to be a cutter. I'ma shoot it in her mouth if I don't choose to use a rubber. You stupid mother, man, scratch that, design tight. I be up nights, I love life, but still cut you down to a stump pipe. I swing a sword forged in sunlight. That bitch will amputate and cauterize you with one swipe like shh. And I meant that like a Tic Tac flavor. The SRT will give you whiplash hater. You can't slow me down. I'm on a tear like gift wrap paper. Drop my nuts on your head and leave an impact crater. Listen, there can only be one winner. I spoke to my destiny and said, come hither. Got wisdom from a serpentine, dragging his tongue flicker. I hit the trees like Van Damme, making a trunk splinter. And that's why I show up on every stage with much vigor. I be floating like Moses in a basket, upriver. She hoped that I would cry, but nah, I ain't let one whimper. I miss the days of just smashing, swear it was much simpler. Midsummer bundled up, prepared for a rough winter. I be the archangel you read about, I'm from scripture. But Twister, absorbing the shock of a Scud missile. And with my healing factor, get up laughing, still uninjured. But listen, life had me spin around like throwing a discus. Thick money stacks, hard to bend like a swollen meniscus. Predator scope, three dots on you like I wrote an ellipsis. Tear you to bits, he'll do more than leave you swollen with stitches. I be thumbing through a check like I'm eye gouging. I got it splashing like waves on a lighthouse. When it's high tide, I climb the ladder of success for 5,000 nights like a Yeti hiking an ice mountain. They said I never rise, but I said never say never. I set my sight and took flight on the Nebuchadnezzar. Look to the horizon, I'm expecting some weather. But made it through the storm, better than ever. Whatever's clever, I sit back and get high like Devin the dude. Assortment of weapons to use, them 7.62s like packs of Mentos, peppermint chews. I laughed as your whole crew went broke, betting I'd lose. You gon' have to learn to walk in hooves, to step in my shoes. I'm writing with colorful words that cover the spectrum of hues. Still the bar's hard, shit get dark as your pessimist views. I fashion the guillotine perfect, here put your neck in the groove. I ain't no dirty player, rookie, them veteran moves. I'm that guy that always seemed to have an exception to rules. I heard that you was dropping something new, I was less than enthused. And won't you on my timeline, getting your necklace removed? It's like they get checks from the zoo, how they sell wolf tickets. Catch you at dinner, buck at the table like good tippers. I didn't plan to pretzel up your neck, but I would twist it. Go as far as Fargo, pushing bodies through wood chippers. Specimen.
F. Nicholas F. VA. Thank you, Roland Burke.
Yo, Richmond, Virginia, Nicholas F. Good looking out, man. Real late, Hot 97.
Yep. Woo!
That was it.
That was the one.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.